Morning. You're listening to Voices from the Prison Action Network, produced by the Hudson Mohawk Independent Media Center. I'm Judith. With us today are the wife and brother of Willie James Brown, an Albany man who has been in prison for 13 years for a crime he insists he did not commit. For every day of the last 13 years, Mr. Brown has worked to get his conviction overturned. With us in the studio today are Connie Brown, who is Willie's wife, and Stanley Brown, who is his brother. Welcome to the program, Connie.
Thank you.
And welcome, Stanley.
Thank you.
Connie Brown, I'd like to start with you.
Okay.
Why don't you start by telling, were you married to Willie when these charges were first brought against him?
No, I wasn't. But I didn't think that he would be convicted because he didn't fit the description. He was with me the night of the crime. So when we went to trial, before he went to trial, we got married. And then the trial began, and they convicted him anyway on falsified evidence. It was in 1990 when Willie was arrested, and he got out on R&R for lack of evidence.
Our listeners might not know what R&R is.
Oh,
it's on your own recognizance. Yeah, okay.
They let him out, and then a month later they arrested him again, but he didn't know what he was being arrested for. Because he was always, he was also accused of raping a 14-year-old girl, and she was supposed to be pregnant. So he tried to, after the trial, he had the poorest public defender who didn't object to anything. He just let anything go in the court. So the DA just took over, and... he was convicted. And he went to prison, and from day one he started trying to clear his name. And we've been through 5 lawyers. We paid 2, and all of them are a circle of friends and family. So he hasn't been able to get anything overturned. They deny everything because he's not a lawyer. We can't get a lawyer that we can trust because they're a circle of friends. So he's still working on his case. He'll continue to work on his case to prove his innocence. But we need help from somebody outside of the Capital District because, like I said before, it's a circle of friends and family that they keep his case in, so we can't get the case overturned.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to Stanley Brown, who's Willie's brother. Are you his older brother?
I'm the oldest brother.
Okay. What did you think when your brother was charged?
Well, he's not a person. He has been in trouble before, and sort of like I have washed my hands of him. But as the last 2.5 years, we got back together, and he told me he always claimed his innocence. And he told me, when I went to start back to seeing him, that he was going to fight this because he didn't do it. And I asked him, did he have any evidence besides word of mouth? He said yes. And one of the evidence that he presented to me was what I find ironic about the whole case. How can a 14-year-old girl and her mother come to the system, come to the courts, or come to the police and say that she's been raped and impregnated by a man? They tell him when they do question him about it that this is not a credible family. Now you come back 2 weeks.
In other words, when she accused him of that, no charges were brought because there was no evidence.
No evidence,
that
they said, but she said they claimed that she was raped and impregnated by
him. I see.
So now you come back 2 weeks to a month later, here comes a white woman drunk and comes down the streets and don't know where she at and claim that she was raped by a black man or a black woman. And then she gives the description on the witness stand that the black man was short and dark-skinned. My brother's light and taller than I am. And then what gets me is not so much the prosecution, but the jury in this case convicted this man on false evidence. The jury, how do they live with themselves? And the things that's been done, and it's several other things that have been done, it's like it's still, they're hanging you by law. Still slavery, still well and alive right here in the state of New York. They hanging you by law. They don't do it with the rope no more.
Hmm. So you think the main issue is racism?
Well, if they didn't take the 14-year-old girl serious at the time, what do you think it is? But either way, neither one of them was credible.
Mm-hmm.
If one was the family.
Our listeners may not understand, but since I'm familiar with the case, I think I'll explain.
Okay.
This 14-year-old girl who wasn't... her original charges against Willie Brown were not taken seriously after her investigation didn't support them, and yet her testimony 2 weeks later about another event were taken seriously. So I think Willie Brown and his family are saying that the witnesses were not credible. I wanted to go back to Connie. You said that Willie was with you at the time that the crime took place.
Yes.
So how come that wasn't enough to get?
That wasn't even, it wasn't elaborated on because they, one of the lawyers called it, they mentally exhausted me. Because they showed me pictures. I told them that Willie and I met in 1990. They showed me pictures of him in 1986. I didn't know him then. They showed me a statement in which they said that I signed, and I said that my statement wasn't the statement that I had signed. So they mentally exhausted me, and they didn't the lawyer didn't ask me any of the questions that would have let the jury know that Willie, I let them know that he was with me, but it was like I didn't say anything. I was I was shocked when they showed me that statement, because I couldn't believe that it looked like my signature, but it wasn't what I signed when I talked to the detectives. Wow. So that was it wasn't the statement that I signed. So that kind of put me in shock. And then after they showed me the statement, I don't remember, and I still don't remember what I said after that. So they took advantage of that, and I tried to retract it, and they can't find the original. We've been looking for years to get a copy of the original statement, and nobody can produce it. Not one of the five lawyers can produce the original statement that they say I signed.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the main issue here?
I think the main issue is they wanted Willie off the streets, so they got incredible witnesses and put them on the stand, because even on the stand, the 14-year-old girl, her mother, and his co-defendant, they all had different stories once the trial started, and the lawyer didn't object to anything. He didn't elaborate on anything. It seemed like he was working with the DA to convict Willie instead of trying to help him get off. Willie wrote him letters. I wrote him letters. I even wrote the judge I met the judge one day in the elevator by mistake, and he wouldn't even talk to me. He told me that he couldn't talk to me about the case, and I'm like, I'm his wife. You know, I need to know, you know, if you saw any of my letters, did you read any of my letters? And he wouldn't talk to me. So nobody that was in that courtroom was for Willie except for me.
I'm just going to interrupt a minute to tell our listeners that they're listening to Voices from the Prison Action Network here at WRPI Troy. And today we're talking about an alleged case of wrongful conviction of Willie James Brown, who's an Albany resident. Well, he's been in prison for 13 years. He hasn't been with us in all that time. And we have his wife, who you've just been listening to, Connie Brown. And Stanley Brown, his brother, is in the studio with us. Stanley, how did you become convinced that Willie was innocent?
Well, when we started back to talking, some of the papers and the things that he had gathered and showed. And one was that when they convicted him, they said he found one Negroid hair. And I have been able to obtain some more information. When I obtained the medical report, it shows that it was only one Negroid hair was found on the sweater. And they never did really say until, I think somewhere in the transcript, they said it was a brown Negroid hair. But my brother's got black hair. But then they say in the medical report, they found some foreign hairs was not of her body, that similar, not saying they was, but similar to being white male pubic hair. How can it be? How can it be? And the medical report said it really no evidence that she was raped. So what? Tell me.
So you have a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. How do you rape? How do you convict a man on such a charge as this? And you have this evidence that you concealed for all these years. Now you won't even give him a maternity test that said it's just his baby.
He's trying to get it.
He's been trying to get a paternity test, too, for the last, 13, ever since he's been in there. And in some kind of DNA evidence, they keep telling him they have it. They say they don't have it. They have it. They don't have it.
They have what?
They said they don't have the DNA, and then they said they have it. Every time you appeal, there's something come back different. And they basically...
You mean they don't have the hair to do the
I guess they
DNA
don't have any of it.
On?
Any of it. And then when they come back, every time they come back, and they base it up on the daughter and the mother's testimony, that's what keeps him in prison.
But I want to know how a young girl and her mother, the girl was 14, how she can go to the police and say that she's been raped and she's pregnant by my husband, and they didn't take that serious. But she can come to the trial and be a key witness in the prosecution of his case. Where is the justice? She wasn't credible enough to prove that he raped and impregnated her,
right.
But she was credible enough to get on the witness stand and say that he brought a white girl to their house and raped her. If he raped her, why would she let him in with somebody else and then watch them do whatever she said they did? That don't even make sense. But they let it ride. It was just like people wasn't even listening to what she was saying. They had already made up their mind. This man is guilty, and he's going to jail. For what, though?
Mm-hmm. How long did the trial take?
The trial took I'm thinking 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even the forensic guy came in and said, they asked him, did you find any other hairs on the victim? And he said no. And the lawyer didn't say a word about the pubic hairs that they found in the girl's panties. And the pubic hairs that they found in the girl's panties was Caucasian. Willie is not Caucasian. So I know that's something that the jury didn't hear, but how could they not think about, what did the medical report say? Why this Negroid hair, the only Negroid hair that they found was on her sweater? You can't have sex and there's no sputum, there's no semen,
mm-hmm.
it's none of that, left on the other party. It's impossible to have sex and have no signs of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they convicted him. And every time Willie would put in a 440, he would put in a motion, they would deny it. Because they know that all the people involved are higher ups, and they don't want them to be exposed, but they need to be exposed because they wronged this man, and I'm sure he's not the first one because, they've done it so well that they have to have done it before. And, it's just, and because I went to see a lawyer one day and in hopes that he would take Willie's case on, I forgot the name of it, but hoping that he would take Willie's case. And he laughed at me. He said, if you don't have $7,500, you can get out of my office because I don't have time for this. I went to many, many lawyers, and nobody would touch the case because of the political injustice that was restored on my husband and, our family. Nobody wants to go to prison and see a loved one, especially when they're innocent. If he had done the crime, it'd be a different story. But I know. That's why I have been with my husband all these years, because I know he is innocent. I have we have two children, and one of them is a daughter. Would I have a man around my daughter that I know would rape somebody? No. I've been working hard and long to keep my husband afloat and try to keep our family afloat. And it hasn't been easy. And it's not easy. And I know life would be much easier if he was here with us. But he's not. The kids are grown now. And they had no time to spend with him because he's in prison for something that he didn't do. And that is totally unfair. And, you know, who do we have to go to when the friends and family are, you know, working, well, together to keep him in prison? Nobody is trying to get him out. They're trying to keep him in.
It sounds like you feel alone in this, like all the powers are weighing in against you and you're feeling helpless.
Yeah,
I see. Stanley's over here wanting to get a word in edgewise.
Especially the very power that is put in place to protect us. They are more like the criminals than the criminals that they are protecting us from. Who are we safe from? From the criminal or from the justice system? Because what I said they done there, they done acted to committed the crime themselves. Who protecting us? And if the people of Albany, New York, or anywhere in America don't stand up and stop this, we gonna have a genocide because power is like a cancer. Once it start, it eat, and especially corrupt power. What we gonna do? We need to stand up not only for Willie, we need to stand up and hold these people accountable because we are putting our life in their hand. They're saying they're coming out to protect us, but they're committing the same acts. Only thing they're doing, better educated with it, seeming like they're not criminal. But that's a man can go to school and learn everything he wants, but if he ain't right in his heart, he still is nothing. He's nothing. And this is what they have done in this case and many other cases. They just as criminal and deceitful as the criminals, the so-called criminals.
Yeah, they had Willie. I went to family court for him. He got into family court, and I went for him because they wouldn't bring him from the prison. They told me that they couldn't do a DNA. They have his blood already because they have to take it once you're in the prison system. And all they needed to do, they even knew where the girl was. They would not go and get her DNA to prove that this baby wasn't his. Even on the birth certificate, his name is not on the birth certificate. It's somebody else's name on the birth certificate. So how can they still have this man in prison for the lie that the girl told? And then she turn around and come to trial under oath and say, "Yeah, yes, he's the father of my baby, and yes, I saw him rape somebody else." What sense does that make? I mean, even if you're not a lawyer or you're not a paralegal, any of that stuff, common sense would tell you there is something wrong with that picture. But nobody would say a word about the cloudy picture that my husband was convicted on.
Yeah.
And it hurts me to my bone that they're getting away with this. You know, we can't get anybody to see, you know, it don't even take a lawyer to see that this case is wrong. I mean, this man is in prison for something that he didn't do. I mean, just if you just use common sense, right, you see that he's an innocent person. He's not short. He's not brown skinned. The man stood up in court, and he is almost 6 feet tall. And they said it was a short brown-skinned man. How could, I mean, just by that alone, not even saying that, you know, that he was with me, which he was, just by the description of the attacker, and, you know, the girl couldn't even pick his picture out. They showed her pictures of him. She couldn't pick him out. They wouldn't give him a lineup, but she didn't point at Willie until he was the only black man in the courtroom. So there it is. He the only black man in here. It must be him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though he's tall, you know, and she said that the guy was short, she still pointed at him. Because, you know, she didn't have no... If it was three black men sitting at that table, I bet you she wouldn't have picked out Willie.
Mm. We only have about two more minutes, and I'm just thinking that I'd like to hear what either of you or both of you think it would take to get Willie out of prison. What would you need to be able to do that?
We need somebody that's going to help us. Apparently, we're not going to get it in Albany or New York State. And I'm asking him to go for us Washington, D.C. to come up here, and they need to come in here and look into this this system. Something is badly wrong, because I was raised up in the South as a little boy. And what I see here, I still see George Wallace and all them kind of guys that still lynching us, but they're doing it legally. And it seemed to be that this is really a matter of a white person saying that she was raped. So matter if the man was dark-skinned, like, we got a black man. Somebody gonna pay for this. And that's the way it seemed to be.